If you would, please turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12. And I'm going to encourage you folks. I know you're here this morning. I'm thankful that you're here this morning. But I'm going to encourage you to be here tonight, because this morning's message and tonight's message go hand in hand. I'm going to be dealing with some of the same things, but you got to hear the conclusion of the story. And you'll be amazed at this, what God has laid upon my heart with this particular subject. I believe that one of the things, there's two things that are destroying churches at a rapid pace. And the one thing that I'm going to deal with this morning is bitterness. Bitterness destroys, it eats up within the congregation, and it begins to fester, and it begins to destroy the very thing that God has put together. And this is a thing that we need to be guarded against. Always to be on the lookout for any type of bitterness within us. I'm going to begin to read here in Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse number 14 through verse number 17. It says, "Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God." Now I want you to look at this next phrase, because this is what we're going to be dealing with here. "Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us, Lord. I ask, Lord, that You would work and bless in the time that we have together. Lord, I pray that Your message would not fall upon deaf ears. Lord, I pray that Your message would challenge hearts as it has challenged mine throughout this week. Lord, I pray that You just work in a mighty way. Lord, I pray that You would help us to have open hearts, open ears, and an open mind to Your Word. And Lord, I ask You these things in Your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Bitterness destroys churches. Not only does bitterness destroy churches, but bitterness destroys families. It destroys workplaces. It's just one of those things that destroys a lot of things. Now, I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me about 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I was sitting at my house, minding my own business. Me and my wife and Jalen were just sitting around doing whatever. I don't know what we're doing. But we're minding our own business. And about 9 o'clock at night, we get a knock on the door. I heard someone running across the street, and we get a knock on the door. And I was greeted by a young lady wanting me to call the police. And I was trying to address the situation, so I went outside, and it was my neighbor across the street. And she wanted me to call the cops on my neighbor. Well, that's not one of the brightest things to do. You know, you live right across the street from them or next door to them. You don't want to call your neighbor, the cops on your neighbors right away, because they're going to hold it against you. Well, I began to get some information out of my neighbor and begin to see what was really happening here. And I didn't call the cops, but in the meantime, my wife doesn't mess around. She don't care if my neighbors get mad at me. But she was calling the cops. But anyway, through the whole entire ordeal, just to make a long story short, because it's a long story, about a half hour later, after this particular young lady left the house, after it was all settled down and calm, we're back at home. We put Jalen to bed. She's trying to sleep. We get a frantic knock on the door. The doorbell's ringing. And I go outside and begin to wonder why is someone knocking on my door begin with at 10 o'clock at night now? We just had one thing happen to us. What next can this possibly be? And so I go outside, and lo and behold, it's the woman again. And she's with her father. And her father was very angry with me because I did not take it upon myself to call the authorities down to this their house and begin to tell me what he thought of me. And I didn't know I had other names. I thought my name was Chad Springer. I didn't know I had other names, what he was telling me and calling me. I had no idea that people thought of me that way. But he began to tell me what he thought of me. And throughout this whole entire conversation, I basically said to him, "Sir, I'm sorry. I was trying to look at the situation here and see what was the right thing to do. I go, but sir, what you did not realize, even though I did not come out and call the cops, I go, my wife was on the phone with them. I go, but nothing could be done because she took off. So anyway, to make a long story short, I was mad. I was furious at this gentleman. Because in the meantime, as they're knocking on my door, waking up my daughter and disturbing my household, their son, her brother, are all in bed. They're sleeping. Now, I was stewing over this all night long. I was furious. My wife, God loves my wife. I love my wife dearly, but she wanted me to go over right then and there and solve the situation. I go, no, honey, it's not the wisest thing to do. They're sleeping. I'm not going to disturb their household the way our household was disturbed. And I'm just going to let them get a good night rest because once the sun gets up in the morning about 4 o'clock, I'm going to go into their house. And needless to say, I went there about 5:30 in the morning. And I woke him up and began to tell him what was happening, what happened last night. And he began to apologize to me, apologize for his father and so forth. But the story doesn't end there. That night proceeded to go on for about another 9 months. Because every time that I saw this gentleman, every time I saw his dad, I became very angry at this individual. This guy knew that I was so angry at him. Every time that he would see me outside, he would not park on my side of the street. He would simply go out of his way to park on the other side of the street. He knew that I was angry. Every time I was outside mowing my yard, he would simply go right back inside. He knew I was mad. He knew I was angry. And I had a problem with this very thing. What I did not realize what was taking place that night was the very fact that I allowed the root of bitterness to get planted and to grow and to sprout and cause my feelings toward that individual not to be very good feelings. I did not realize that I allowed this guy for 9 months to control my very feelings towards him. And I had to recognize the fact wherein I was wrong. That's a hard thing to do, is to recognize that you was wrong in the situation. And I had to recognize that very thing. And this is a thing that has controlled my life up until the age I'm at right now, until my present day. Bitterness has controlled my life. Bitterness has ruined some things in my life. Pride has been one of them, has ruined things in my life. Jealousy has been a thing that's ruined things in my life. But bitterness has had that control over me. It's very easy for me to get mad at somebody, and I'm confessing my faults to you. It's very easy for me to get angry with somebody and allow myself to get bitter. And that's not a position that I should be in. And this is a thing that I've had to give over to God, because only God can control it. And so bitterness has destroyed my life in this area. And I've seen it destroy marriages. I've seen it destroy families and churches. Why has this happened? Because we have allowed the root of bitterness to set in our lives. And there isn't anybody sitting in my presence today who hasn't struggled with this very thing of bitterness. I could have went into it last hour, but we have had spouses who have become bitter towards one another, where it's eating each other, we eat up at each other. We've had brothers and sisters who get so mad at each other and angry, and it destroys a relationship. We can go back to the very beginning of time and see how bitterness destroys many, many things. It was the very thing that brought Satan to being kicked out of heaven. He got angry. He got bitter towards God. He wanted more. He wanted all power. And he wasn't going to get it, so he gets mad and he gets booted out of heaven. And so this is why we live in our cursed world it is today. So you might sit there and think to yourself that bitterness doesn't affect anybody around me. Think again. Think again. It was my situation in my household 2 years ago was reflecting my relationship with my neighbors. For that 9 months, folks, they did not see Christ in me. And I am their source and I am their way to give the gospel to them. And I was not presenting myself Christ-like to them because I have allowed that root of bitterness to creep in and set in my life. And it was destroying a thing that I was trying to build up for a couple of years. And it does destroy things around you. Don't be a fool and think that it doesn't, because it does. It destroys things around you. It destroys people around you. And this is a thing that we need to get out of our lives. Let us stop controlling our lives and give it to God. The Bible clearly says if you have any hatred in your heart, you are indeed a murderer. If you have hatred in your heart, why is that hatred there? Because you have bitterness towards somebody or something. And that's why that hatred begins to develop within inside you, because you've allowed bitterness to set in. I've seen it happen over and over again, how members in churches would rise up because they have allowed themselves to get angry, and from that anger they get bitter, from that bitterness to become a hatred towards mankind. And it's just not a good thing. So this means that we are just as guilty as that man that's sitting upon death row right now who has went out and physically killed somebody. So it makes us guilty of that very same thing. The Bible has three particular stories that I want to look at today that really stick out in my mind about bitterness. And the funny thing is, they all deal with families. They all deal with families. What's that trying to tell us? It's trying to tell us Satan's out to destroy the family, isn't he? Satan's going to do everything and anything that he can to rise up, to cause things to happen in a family to where there's hatred towards one another. So it's ironic that Satan would love to destroy the family. The sad thing about that, folks, is he's pretty successful at doing that. The other sad thing about that is we have allowed him to do that very thing. We've allowed him to destroy the family. We've allowed it to creep in. We've allowed these things to come in. In the book of Genesis, we read of two brothers that had this happen to them. One of the first stories is of Cain and Abel. You can go back to the book of Genesis and you can sit there and you can read the story of Cain and Abel. But you see here that Cain hated the fact that Abel's offering was blessed by God and his wasn't. He hated it. He wasn't happy with it. He was bitter towards it. And look what happens once that bitterness gets in and has that root settled down and goes towards hatred. Now hatred, you react upon that hatred, and that hatred he begins and kills his brother. All because of what? All because he allowed bitterness to step into his life. All because he did not have the wisdom at that point in time to see that there is a root there taking place and growing and festering. And he allowed that to overcome and take the life of his brother. So he took it upon himself to kill his brother because he let this thing of bitterness set in. He allowed that very root of bitterness to grow. A few weeks ago, I've been wanting to do some things in my front yard to make it look more attractive. And I've been doing some things, the landscape and so forth. And I went out and bought a tree a few weeks ago, and I dug a hole. Well, why do you dig a hole? Well, if you got a tree, you got to dig a hole, don't you? So I took the thing, this tree out of this plastic container that it was in, and I began to look at all the little vines that were around this tree. Those vines are called roots. And in order for this tree to grow is for me not only to dig the hole, but to put it in there, plant it, put some dirt around it, give it some fertilizer, give it some water, to allow what? To allow the roots to take place and to grow. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. I'm going to challenge you this morning to examine your heart, to examine your life. If there's any root of bitterness in you today, if there is, I'm going to challenge you to give it to God before it's all said and done with. So we see here that Cain took it upon himself to kill his brother. I can't even imagine plotting to kill my own brothers. I couldn't imagine it. But Cain couldn't even stand the sight of Abel. It made him sick to look at his own brother. It made him sick. Now, I can remember growing up from time to time whenever one of the siblings got mad towards one another. The thing that we did quite often is we'd walk by each other and we'd do this. I don't see you. You know, that type of thing. We would do that. We would ignore each other. And things like that. And this is where Cain was at. He couldn't stand the sight of Abel. So he took it upon himself to get rid of his own brother. Can you understand how fast bitterness sets in? It sets in that quick. And it destroys a family. But Cain allowed this very root to come into his life and to take over and to kill his own brother. Well, you just might sit there and say, well, I've never wished anybody dead. Well, as I said earlier, because it's in your heart, you've already killed. Well, I'm not bitter. I just talk behind their back. And nobody else knows except me and my friend. Well, that's bitterness going on. You might not sit there and think so, but when you're talking about someone behind someone else's back and it's not in a good context, there's a thing of there's a root of bitterness taking place. And that begins to fester and it begins to grow. The more you talk about it, the more it's getting watered, the more it's growing. And it just keeps festering from there. And we don't see that this is a problem. Did you forget, even those people that you talk to behind their back, do you forget the very ones that you're talking to? Not everybody keeps their mouth shut. Hey, can I tell you a secret? No, I really can't. Oh, you can trust me. Have you ever had a friend like that? You can tell me. I'm not going to tell anybody. You ask my wife. I don't say anything. That's not true. Everybody slips up from time to time, don't they? So when you begin to talk about someone behind their back because of that root of bitterness, well, just all remember we have a flesh. And that flesh can't wait to tell so-and-so. And it begins to go deeper and deeper. Do you see how this thing works? Amen? One, two, three. Amen? Okay. So bitterness begins to destroy friendships here. But it destroys a family. And it came to a point where it was so bad that Cain knocked off his own brother. In the book of Genesis chapter 25... And we're going to not deal with this so much this morning, but tonight we're going to get more involved with this. But we hear of two brothers here, Jacob and Esau. We read of the story of how Jacob tricked his brother into selling him his birthright. And Esau had a hatred in his heart towards his brother. I have taught on this many times. I preached on this many times. But I never realized how fast and how much that Esau allowed this very thing of bitterness to control his life, where he sought out to even kill his own brother. So from the very beginning of their relationship, Jacob was always trying to steal or take away from his older brother, and he was very crafty in how he did so. And what I haven't seen, was through those times that there was a root of bitterness throughout over the years, throughout over the times that Jacob, every time that he did something towards Esau, it just kept growing. And it kept growing and it kept growing to where it developed a hatred in his heart towards his own brother. Now, I've grown up with three brothers. I've had the privilege of having three brothers in my household. I had two older and one younger. And I thank God for them. And there have been some pretty intense moments in our household growing up with these three gentlemen. And we've had some arguments at times. We've had some times where we wanted to knock each other out. And thank God for Mom interfering. But things like that have happened in our household as brothers and as sisters because we have become bitter towards one another. And so we've always tried to do the other when someone's done us wrong within our natural instincts as well. We got to do them wrong. And so it's natural for us to do these types of things. You know, there have been some times where we have physically fought with one another. I mean, physically fought with one another. Your pastor made us go out and physically fight with one another whenever there's an argument. Because he figured that would bring an end to it once one of us had a fist in the face. And that didn't happen all the time. But anyway, there's been some pretty intense moments in our house. But there's never been an occasion where I don't think where we wanted to kill each other. Now, I can remember back years ago that over one particular argument that one of my brothers, I won't name him this morning, but he's here. Sorry. You know, I can remember an argument that we had is on our old house on 20th and D. And I don't know what got into him other than Satan. And he picked up a knife, a big old butcher knife, probably about this long, and chased me around the house. Now, I know Wayne, and I know the love that he has for me, but I know that he would never have done such a thing to me. I know that for a fact. And because he loves me so much. And I was just praying at that time he wouldn't trip and fall. But we've never really sought out to kill each other and have such a hatred in our hearts towards one another. All these things that I can remember happening, they all happened for a reason. With arguments and with fights and things of that nature, is because we as brothers, as sisters, have allowed bitterness to set in. And when we allow the bitterness to set in, we react upon it. Now, I know a gentleman today that was a deacon in a church, and he asked a pastor a question. And he goes, "Pastor, show me in the Scripture where it says drinking is wrong." You know, he just wanted to have some insight on it, and was kind of confused about it. So he asked the pastor that question. Well, the pastor the following week, God began to deal with him throughout the week. Well, if my deacon's having questions about this, well, maybe the whole entire church is kind of asking the same question. So God put upon his heart to have a message on this very particular subject. But not knowing what happened with this pastor did not realize that this deacon, after this sermon, thought that he was preaching directly towards him and began to become very bitter at this pastor. And it kept growing month after month, year after year, finally until the deacon left the church. Now, the sad thing of it is, because the deacon left his church, his two boys don't have a relationship with God. So it does affect people around you. It affects the very things that are around you. And we ought not allow this thing to come in and to set in our lives and to react upon it. So we learn here in Genesis 25, Esau was so mad at Jacob, he wanted to kill him. And because of this, Jacob's mom had sent him away because she didn't want to bear the thought of losing two sons. After this happened, you don't hear of Scripture ever again where Rebekah saw Jacob. You never read of this again where Rebekah saw Jacob. How does this happen? How does this take place? Because bitterness destroys. And this is a thing that we need to guard ourselves with. So do you think Satan was pretty pleased that this happened? I believe he was. I believe he was happy. I believe he was rejoicing. I believe he was dancing around. And every time that he gets victory over us, he's eating it up. He's relishing in the fact that he's destroying the very thing that God put together, and that's the family. The sad thing of it is we're allowing him to have this victory. And so we allow ourselves to get upset over stupid things. Let's admit it. It's stupid. It's dumb. Because a week from now, you can't even remember why you got mad. The gossipers don't even have it right. The story's changed so much since then. So a week later, we have no idea why we're even upset. Now, I know of a pastor here who was recently kicked out of his church because they're in a remodeling phase in their church, and they wanted to buy this beautiful chandelier. Well, the church couldn't afford the chandelier, so the pastor went out on himself with his own money, with his own finances, and bought this chandelier. And you know what happened? The people got mad. His church people got mad and began to hold secret meetings behind the pastor's back. And they allowed this root of bitterness to set in their lives. They allowed it to spread not only within themselves, but within the church family. And then they went behind the pastor's back and they kicked the pastor out. The sad thing of it is, he hasn't had a church since then. Bitterness destroys. And Satan loves it. The last story I'd like to point out to you, we're running out of time here, but this is the prodigal son. In the book of Luke chapter 15, you can turn there. We read of two more brothers. Isn't it amazing that it's a family involved here? So we read of the prodigal son where he wanted his inheritance from his father so he can go out and live a lifestyle that he was wanting to live. And we see here that in verse number 21, I'll pick it up there, that the son is wanting to come back, and it says, "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, am no worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." Look what happens here in verse number 28. "And he was angry and would not go in." He was angry. Why did he get angry? Because he allowed bitterness to control his life. He allowed this very thing that we've been talking about here. He allowed this thing to control his life. He wasn't happy for the fact that his son was out, his brother was out in the world, lost, living a lifestyle that he shouldn't be living. He wasn't happy with the fact that his brother came back. He was angry. Why? Because he allowed the root of bitterness to set in. After all that, he came home and his father is very happy. His father is very gracious for him to return home. But what father in their right mind wouldn't be excited? Why wasn't the brother excited? Because he is jealous because his father killed the fatted calf and had a party for him? And his brother began to become very angry at this. He then began to complain to his father and wanted nothing to do with it. All because he allowed the root of bitterness to grow inside of him and to fester there in this life of his. In order for us not to have any bitterness within ourselves, what I want you to realize and want you to understand and take a home with this today is we have to kill the what? The root. We have to kill it. In order for plants to grow, they have to have a root. Without it, they would die. But this is a thing that we need to kill. That's exactly what we need to do with bitterness. Kill the root. Don't even let it begin to grow. Don't stew upon things. Don't fester upon things. Getting back to my story. I didn't finish it, by the way. Getting back to my story, after allowing this very thing to control my life, I begin to realize that, as I said earlier, I wasn't being a good example for Christ. And I allowed this thing to control my life. I allowed this very thing for even my neighbor not even to talk to. And I begin to pray about it. And when you begin to pray about things, the Holy Spirit begins to work. And one day I was out there in my driveway. I was washing off the grass and everything, and I can just feel the Holy Spirit pulling on my heart. Because I seen his dad out there. His dad couldn't run away from me. He had his grandchildren out there, and he's watching them. But he would do everything he could not to look at me. And I just felt the Holy Spirit talking to me. "Chad, go talk to this guy and make it right." And I kept saying no. Now's not the time. Well, the more I said no, the more the Holy Spirit nudged me. And before too long, not by my power, But by the Holy Spirit, He took me across the street. And I had to kill that root of bitterness that I had. I walked up to that gentleman and I said, "Jim, I've been wrong for these past few months that I've treated you. I've allowed this thing of bitterness to step into my life. I allowed this thing to control it. Please forgive me." See, in the beginning, I didn't do nothing wrong. But throughout it, I was the one in the wrong. Why? Because I allowed this very thing of bitterness to step in, to take root, to get planted, and to grow. And I had to kill it. And thank God that He had a victory that day. Bitterness, it's killing families, it's killing churches. And we've let the silliest things, tear us apart. You need to ask yourself a question. Is there any root of bitterness in you? Have you allowed a relationship to be destroyed because there's hatred in your heart towards a brother or towards a sister or towards Christ or towards a pastor? Is there any root of bitterness in your heart? I want to encourage you to read 1 John 2:11, 1 John 3:15, 1 John 4:7, verse 20. And I want you to read these things and understand what these verses are saying to us. The Bible is very clear on what it says. How can we truly say that we love God if we have any hatred in our hearts toward a brother? How can we say we truly love God if we have any hatred in our hearts towards a brother? I'm encouraging you to read those verses. Folks, I believe it's time that we have a reality check today. If you don't love a brother, because the Bible is very clear in what it says, if you don't love a brother, you don't love God. I'm not making it up. I'm not adding anything to it. It's what the Word of God says. If you love a brother, you love God. And if we're not loving our brother in the way that we should, it's because we've allowed some form of bitterness to step into our lives and to control us. And God's not happy with it. Are you tired of letting Satan have the victory in your life over this very thing? Do you want to finally get rid of this thing and give it to God? Now is the time. Now is the day. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for this time that You've given us, Lord. I thank You for these three stories that You've allowed us to learn from. Lord, I thank You so much for the victory that You had in my life through this and for showing me how wrong I was in this area. Lord, I pray that You would continue to work upon hearts here that are here this morning. Lord, I pray, Lord, today would be the day that we kill this thing that is controlling our lives, and that's bitterness. Lord, I pray that You just work and bless in Your name. Amen. If You would, please stand with your heads bowed, with your eyes closed.